We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Okay, just want to let parents know, again, the virtual program will be back in schools for 2021-2022. I thought this might happen.
So the reality is that virtual is back?
Yes. Okay. Yes, thank you. That would make a great headline, by the way. had an editor who would have loved that had
Very
I come
good,
up with it. So just letting parents know, the sign-up period opens today, so... if you have liked the virtual program, this is not the e-learning program, okay? This is the virtual program that you had to apply for. If you like it, it will be back 2021-2022. And again, what's interesting about it, if you go read the Greenville County Schools website, they don't mention COVID. So this is not extension because of COVID. At least they're not selling it that way. But as a new standalone program, which I think this is great. I mean, schools across the nation, I mean, think the money you could save if you let a certain percentage of parents who maybe are working from home or want that option not go to school. That's going to take kids out of the classroom. It's going to cut costs, particularly, physical plant, that kind of thing. So,
but think of all the bus drivers that are going to be out of work, Tara, and all the companies that make buses.
Anyway, if you want to sign your kids...
Sorry, I just got to find some reason to complain.
I know. There's always got to be one. So if you want to sign your kids, I thought the virtual program was really well done. So I know at least two of mine are going to be in it this year. Their choice, by the way. I gave them a choice.
School choice.
What they want to do. Yeah. So
you got to dig it.
You got to dig it. I just think it's going to be interesting as more parents are working from home and discovering that actually homeschooling your kids is not that hard if you get a good program, and even saves you time sitting in the car line, which is a real grind.
Oh, yeah.
That more parents will be into this. And again, with...
See, it could be better for the environment. That
see,
way you're not
yeah.
sitting there idling, wasting fuel
mm-hmm.
in the car line there.
Yeah. And one of the things I really like is now that there's not all those time wasters, like the breaks and the recess and all that, and my kids get their homework done... And they're done by 2:30, whereas before they wouldn't get home till 3, and then they started homework, and we had no real family time that way, and then we had to run to sports or whatever. It was just a grind, and now they've got more playtime, more time with, friends who are in our neighborhood, and there's no homework in the afternoon, which I love. I help Crash out with his work, but that's not homework.
You have enough homework with your job.
I know, I do. So, I mean, we have more family time. We're doing great. I just like the program. I think it's a good program. And every time I say that, I get the text line exposed to people who don't like it. I guess I'm a weirdo. I don't know. But I thought it was really well done, and I'm so glad that they kept it. But anyway, if you want to do it, enrollment opens today, and it goes through February 9th. It's first come, first serve. So I'd probably sign up sooner rather than later. But you can go to the Greenville County Schools website, and they got all the stuff you need right there. And it's good. So anyway, that's going on. I cannot believe we're at the point in this country where we can't trust National Guard, 25,000 troops, mm-hmm. to guard an inauguration because they might have voted for Trump.
Yeah, all right, that's where we are.
I mean, this is kind of terrifying.
Well, that's like having members of the left-wing media saying that Trump voters need to be deprogrammed. That's what Katie Couric apparently was saying, that we need to find some way to deprogram Trump voters.
She was just repeating what she read in the Washington Post. They had one of their columnists said, yeah, I've got to deprogram them. And I'm wondering if the deprogramming will be after the liberation of southern states from GOP control that AOC is proposing.
Exactly.
Wondering, will that come after the liberation? Yeah.
That'll be the re-education camps that they'll be opening up.
The way these people are speaking is bizarre. Here's the crazy thing, okay? But Biden, they run Biden as your grandfather. Right? He's going to be the great uniter. He's very moderate. Don't worry. He's not going to change anything. You get to keep your Trump economy. He's not going to do anything scary. He's not like Trump saying these mean things, right? Okay. Take the most radical thing Trump ever said, whatever that was. And it wasn't that radical, but everyone pretended to be offended, right? It doesn't come close to what Biden just said. Likening senators on the other side of the aisle to Nazis. Can you imagine if Trump had suggested that Democrat senators who disagree with him were Nazis?
All of the media that have said that about him and his supporters would then be upset.
Oh, yeah. No, absolute outrage would ensue. There would be elected Republicans, Republican leadership lining up outside CNN to get on to condemn Trump. And absolute hysteria would break out. We'd be told about the climate, the political climate, how dangerous it was, how dangerous Trump was. Likening sitting senators to Nazis, why that was unacceptable. Biden just did it. There isn't a single gaffe or outrageous statement that Trump has ever made that comes close to that. Nobody cares. And what the really shocking thing about it is, where's GOP leadership? I mean, the dude just called you Nazis. Do you get the seriousness of that? When you couple it with the fact that they're now backgrounding National Guard troops to see if they supported Trump? Do you not see where we're going here? Because I do.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't see where we're going. You're not going to condemn this because we all know the Republican leadership would be out there screaming. And yeah, there'd be governors who are Republican. There'd be GOP leaders. Ronna McDaniel, DRNC would have to condemn and disavow. Nothing.
And you miss Nikki Haley.
Oh, yeah. Nikki Haley be on the top of the pile, piling on, man. You'd see her heels sticking out of the top of the pile, man. She'd be so deep down in there. Still have anything to say about this. Can you picture it, though?
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she'd get that lipstick all over her face, hair all over the place. She's never a hair out of place. Have you ever noticed?
No, she's always very attractive.
Attractive. She's about all I could say for her. Well. Anyway, headline, AP, FBI vetting National Guard troops in D.C. amid fears of insider attack at inauguration. Oh, okay. So they've had tips then about a National Guard insider attack, right? No. No. Okay. Fears of an insider attack, according to the Associated Press, so it might be true, are prompting the FBI to vet all 25,000 National Guard troops coming into Washington for the event. The massive undertaking, they write, reflects the extraordinary security concerns that have gripped Washington following the deadly January 6th insurrection. It was only actually deadly for the one insurrector, the woman. By pro-Trump supporters. Okay. It underscores the fears that some of the very people assigned to protect the city over the next several days could present a threat to the incoming president and other VIPs. This sounds serious. Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy told the Associated Press that officials are conscious of the potential threat, and he warned commanders to be on the lookout for any problems within their ranks. So they must have gotten tips.
So
no.
Haven't we been being lectured over the past few months about, inciting some type of doubt into our federal institutions?
Oh, good point. So, what they've seen, so far, McCarthy and other leaders say they have seen no evidence of threats. An official said the vetting hasn't flagged any issues. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
Because the left has to have a constant enemy.
Yeah, good point.
That's exactly why we are doing this. And that enemy has to be something that can be blamed on the other side. That's why we're doing this. That's why Democrats, that's why the left-wing media is doing it. If Trump's no longer in office, they've still got to have a boogeyman that they can blame for everything. Don't look at what we're doing. Don't look at what we're saying. The enemy's over here. That's who the enemy is. That's what's going on.
Well, if you're thinking, well, this will all calm down. Oh, no. What they're doing right now, they're about to embed in legislation. I'll tell you about that when we get back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You in law enforcement? Know anyone who is? Yeah, the federal government may be checking into you soon, and not just like they're checking into the National Guard. Nope, this will be all the way down to the police level. That and more is in the domestic terrorism bill that only Antifa could love. Here's how it'll work. Legislation, this is according to the Center for Security Policy.org, the legislation is less about securing Americans from domestic terrorism and more about propagandizing a dangerous narrative. Let me explain how it would work. The domestic terrorism bill singles out right-wing terrorists for the first time and labels local law enforcement officials as potential terrorist threats. This is jaw-dropping. Again, let me ask you something. A popularly elected Democrat Party, one that President Joe Biden got 80 million votes. Wow, he did. That's 10 million more votes than Barack Obama at the height of his popularity. Why would you do this? I mean, you're so popular, man. Everybody loves you. You wouldn't need to do this. Why are you doing it? But they are. The legislation directs federal law enforcement and intelligence almost solely against perceived right-wing threats. As the bill declares, far right-wing extremists are the most significant domestic terrorism threat facing the U.S. Then it directs law enforcement at the federal level, so FBI and NSA and all those, to use, quote, limited resources, unquote, only against the most significant threats. Well, it defines the most significant threat as right-wing terror. Let me translate. If you were going to file a bill that said ignore the left-wing terrorists, ignore Antifa, ignore those violent elements in Black Lives Matter, ignore the people who did $1 to $2 billion worth of damage between May and July and $5 billion worth of damage through the election, just ignore them. Ignore the people who did $50 million worth of damage in Kenosha and burned people's businesses to the ground. No big deal. Just go ahead and ignore them. That's not a big deal. Oh, ignore the people who injured 2,037 law enforcement officers and killed over 30 people. This is good. It's all good. They were great people, really. We need to go after the far right. You can't exactly write a bill to say that, at least not at this time. So what they're doing is creating a new category, right-wing terrorism. Currently, according to the Center for Security Policy, currently the FBI does not classify terrorism as far right or far left, but has categories such as racially motivated, violent extremist, which would include both white supremacist and black identity or black separatist ideologies. It's like that. This politicizes terror. And says, look, we're going to put all of our eggs in the right-wing basket, and if there's any money left at the end, then we might go after, you know, Islamic terror, we might go after left-wing terror, but otherwise, no, we're going to just ignore that. Which, I mean, I don't know why you even have to tell the FBI to do this. Christopher Wray is already doing it. The Center for Security Policy writes, this attempt to cement a partisan bias into U.S. government terrorism doctrine is deeply worrisome. Yeah? Understatement of the year. But even more concerning is the way Durbin's bill enshrines into law anti-police talking points from Antifa. The legislation treats law enforcement and U.S. military as though they are riddled with white supremacists and neo-Nazis and demands an annual assessment of infiltration of federal, state, and listen to this, local law enforcement agencies. They're going to actually set up domestic terrorism unit whose primary focus will be to go after what they call right-wing terror. And these domestic terrorism units or offices will be in the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI. So these are people who are going to start looking through local police force. Would you text anything to your wife about supporting Trump? Really? You don't like Democrats, do you? What's that on your social media? Oh, a Trump flag. You guys, Trump flag on your house? We need to come by and talk to you about the job you have at the sheriff's department. You say, well, my sheriff's fine with it. He had a Trump sticker on his car. Oh, we'll need to talk to him, too. Folks, we are already seeing, this is from Center for Security Policy from the write-up, we are already seeing efforts to conduct a purge of law enforcement who merely attended the January 6th Save America rally, even those who did not participate in any illegal activity. In some cases, the Antifa has taken part in seeking to identify and dox police officers who attended. But it's not good enough for the left. So they want to start going through local police and getting rid of elements that are not loyal to them. How many years have I told you they would do this? They already started doing it under Obama. Remember what the plan was? They never actually did it, but they wrote a whole report on it. I won't remember what the goal was. They were going to federalize local police because the problem they have is that local police, and particularly sheriffs, do not answer to them. This is why you will never see a Democrat protesting outside the FBI, ever. Have you ever heard a Democrat criticize the FBI? Never. Only local police. Because it drives them nuts. They don't control that. And they need sheriffs and local police chiefs and police officers themselves who will go along with their dictates. So this is a purge. This is the beginning of a purge. Well, we got a file on you. You supported Trump. Yeah, I haven't done anything wrong. Didn't break any laws. I'm a good officer. Well, but we got a file on you. We're going to be watching you. Look. If you're American, you're looking at this and thinking this is pernicious, but, you know, whatever. They're probably paranoid right now. You wouldn't recognize it. If you came out of the USSR or Cuba or, you know, some small Latin American, tin pot dictatorship, you know exactly what this is. Purge. It's a purge. They would routinely go through government offices, military, to make sure everyone is sufficiently loyal to them. That's what this is. But it also serves another purpose. I mean, if you have to use all your resources on right-wing terror before you can get to the left-wing terror, you won't have time or resources to look at who might be the leaders of Antifa, who might be, you know, funding Antifa, Black Lives Matter. You don't have time for that. Remember when Rand Paul asked the Department of Injustice, after he was violently attacked along with a police officer they ultimately put in a hospital? You've seen the video. I mean, it was terrible. And he asked the Department of Injustice to investigate how the thugs got there, who paid for their plane tickets, their clothes were all new, who bought those. He wanted the funding trail investigated. I went to the Washington, D.C. office of the DOJ and requested that. He's a sitting senator. And I would have thought it was, you know, wrong to terrorize a sitting senator. And it is if you're not a left-wing terrorist. They refused to investigate that. They refuse. They wouldn't want to look at it. Don't want to know who the leaders are. Don't want to know where the funding comes from. I know where the funding comes from. I mean, not specifically. I don't know the address, but I know the direction. Don't you? So this is the Antifa Protection Act as well. Folks, what did I tell you? I've been telling you this on the podcast. Normalize left-wing violence. Demonize right-wing violence. Use left-wing violence as a force multiplier. You best not speak out against what we want to do, because like Josh Hawley, I mean, we may send someone to kick your door in when your wife and your baby are home alone. I mean, you just wouldn't want that, so you better keep your mouth shut. Because there's not going to be any repercussions for those thugs trying to kick your doors in, at least not federally.
The Upstate's most trusted forecast brought to you by The Dental Retreat. If you're looking for a new, better dental experience, it's an easy decision. Switch your dentist to The Dental Retreat. Call The Dental Retreat today at 836-3611. That's 836-3611 or online at thedentalretreat.com. Got a news tip or story idea? Email news at 1063WORD.com. I'm Lee Rogers with The Tara Show on the Upstate's talk station, 1063WORD.
So Amazon booted Parler for users' supposedly violent language, but Amazon hosted, until this person was taken down after Breitbart pointed it out, hosts a merchant selling Kill All Republicans t-shirts. That's cool. This is amazing. It was sold by Florence and Partner. It was a black t-shirt which read Kill All Republicans on Amazon. Which, you know, that's cool. It's fine. It's good. It's just free speech. Then there's the Donald Trump knife rack, which is marketed as the perfect gift. Featuring the head of Donald Trump filled with, you know, steak knives. It was sold as the exceptional conversation starter. Yeah, because violence is cool. It's hip. It's just got to be one way. This is all part of the normalization process. Normalizing left-wing violence. It's just protest. Protest is American as apple pie. And I dealt with this last week in my Battleground podcast, that there's going to be a phase two here. That those of you who are pointing out, like, look at the hypocrisy of the left for not condemning the just grotesque violence this year. You know, Kamala Harris has never condemned it. Can you believe? I mean, she's literally raised money on Twitter to bail out violent protesters who were arrested because they committed crimes, and she bails them out. She has never condemned it. And I explain on the Battleground podcast, and I go kind of psychological deep dive into that. This is only the first phase. The first phase of left-wing violence is okay. Right-wing violence is different. It's different than left-wing violence. We can't accept right-wing violence. Right-wing violence is never justified. Left-wing violence always is. But that there would be a phase two. And the second phase is the normalization of left-wing violence. Because it's not going to stop. I mean, it's not going to stop. We know that because Kamala Harris told us it wouldn't stop. And it shouldn't stop, she told a shocked Colbert. It wouldn't stop, and it shouldn't stop. I've played that clip for you many times. I'm not going to do it again right now because I'm just tired of hearing her. So this is phase two because they don't intend to stop the violence. It's a force multiplier. Here's CNN's Don Lemon explaining.
You cannot compare this, and I'm sick of people comparing. You can't compare what happened this summer to what happened at the Capitol. It's two different things. One was built on people, on racial justice, on criminal justice, right? On reform, on police not beating up or not treating people of color differently than they do whites, okay? That is not a lie. Those are facts. Go look at them. What happened at the Capitol on Wednesday was built on a lie perpetrated by the president and the people who support him. So just on that one, that merit, if you want to call it, it's not comparable.
See? By the way, we've been over the stats many times. 10 black males were shot last year. Unarmed black males. It was closer to 20 for unarmed white males. Yes, a larger percentage of shooting victims are black than are white. But the idea this doesn't happen to white people is bizarre. And this is not systematic. It's not a widespread problem. Oh, by the way, speaking of that $50 million damage in Kenosha, remember that? Yeah, remember that was over Jacob Blake. Remember Jacob Blake? And the video was shocking. I was a police officer shooting a white police officer shooting a black man in the back. Multiple times. He's paralyzed now. And that was all we needed as a nation to know that what the thing that we needed to do was burn down Kenosha. $50 million worth of damage. $50 million worth of damage. And we would later find out that the attorney general of that state, as well as the police department that the officer worked for, knew right away Jacob Blake had a knife. But they told no one. Why would they do that? Well, they wanted the violence. It was a Democrat-run city. Violence was useful. It was a good optic. Got to turn the black vote out. We're going into an election. For 4 days, at first the attorney general said he wasn't armed. Then he said he might have been, but wouldn't confirm it. Because they need to get the riots going. Well, Jacob Blake just did an interview with ABC News, in which he admitted, me, I had a knife. I shouldn't have, but I had a knife. Here's that.
Blake pulled the taser prongs out of his skin. Officer Shesky and Blake end up in a physical altercation on the ground.
We see you walk away from the officers after they try to grab you.
I'm rattled, you know. I realized I had dropped my knife. I had a little pocket knife. So I picked it up after I got off of him because they tased me and I fell on top of him.
With an open knife in hand that Blake says fell out of his pocket, he walks around the front of the vehicle towards the driver's side door.
What are you thinking at that point?
I'm not really worried. I'm walking away from them, so it's not like they're gonna shoot me.
You were thinking once you get the knife into the car, you were going to just say,
throw myself to the ground and, you know, put my arms behind my back.
What? He had a knife. Can't see it in the video. So, you know, Mr. Blake, should you have picked up the knife?
I shouldn't have picked it up, only considering what was going on. At that time, I wasn't thinking clearly.
No, you won't, sir. Weren't, sir. You weren't. Okay, so let's just put this together for a minute. Let's try to comprehend what we've just learned about Jacob Blake. If a police officer sees a person who is stealing a car, white, black, or otherwise, you think they're going to look at him and go, oh, you know, I'm going to let that guy go. No! He was stealing a car. That wasn't his car. It was his ex-wife's car. She had called the police on him. Okay, if police see a guy stealing a car, that guy has a warrant for sexual assault. The woman who owns the car is the one who he is accused of sexually assaulting. She also has a restraining order against him, and he's violating it. And he's stealing a car. You think the cop's going to respond to that? Let's keep going. You see a guy stealing a car who has a restraining order against him, and there are three small children in the back of that car. And the woman who, you know, owns or is in possession of the car is begging for help because she has a restraining order, and he's about to drive off with the three small children with a knife. Hi. Well, you just go, well, you know, we'll just let him go. He's white, so we'll just... No! What officer does that? Come on! Nobody! They try to stop him. Now, if they use the bullets first, that would be one thing. But as Mr. Blake admits there, they did not. They first wrestled him to the ground. He retrieved the knife and kept going. At this point, I mean, the officer, I would be terrified of a guy with a knife. I'd have shot him then, just to self-preservation. But they didn't. The restraint is unbelievable. They tased him. He still got the knife. He pulls the prongs out. And he keeps going. Well, they've used the escalation of force they were taught. Now he's getting in the car. With the, you know, three kids in the back. The car that's not his. You're going to let a man wanted for sexual assault who has a knife drive off with three kids? Are you out of your mind? I don't care what color he is. Of course you're not. So they did what a court has now found there is no reason to charge them for. This is why the case was dismissed. Do you regret the knife, Mr. Blake?
I shouldn't have picked it up, only considering what was going on. At that time, I wasn't thinking clearly.
$50 million worth of damage. Businesses burned. Family businesses destroyed. Lives destroyed. Why do we keep doing this? Can we not just wait a few days to get some facts in this country before we burn things down? All right, here's the good news. The only hope for the future of honest and open debate is for Parler to survive. I've called it the canary in the coal mine on the Battleground podcast. You can get that, by the way, by texting Battleground to 71307. Even if you're not on social media, you don't care about social media, this should concern you, because what they're doing to Parler right now is what will happen to all U.S. businesses who do not go along with the dictates of the party. They will simply collapse because other businesses will not do business with them. The kind of providers you need to have a website, keep website up and running, basic digital services, all the things that you need in the modern era, they will simply disappear out of terror. It's essentially a Chinese-style system, but without the credit score. Well, the problem with Parler was that after Amazon kicked them off their servers, they had to find somebody else who'd host them, right? I mean, you'd think Maria Bartiromo, Fox News reports that this company's worth $500 million to $1 billion. You'd think somebody'd want to host that, right? I mean, think about all the money you could make. Nobody did. So they're all afraid. They're afraid of Google and Amazon. They're afraid of Apple and Facebook and Twitter. Well, Parler CEO John Mates said over the weekend that last week he was saying he didn't know if he could ever get Parler back up because he was being locked out of the capitalist system in a very fascist way. That's not capitalism, by the way. There's demand for his services. It's just that a monopoly is illegally blocking him. And the only reason that's happening is because the Department of Injustice is allowing it to happen, allowing certain privileged people to break antitrust law. It's criminal what they're doing. But nobody's there to help. That's what's allowing this. So he was able actually to find a web hosting service that would take him, Epic. So when you go to Parler, they actually have a message up right now. So he has not found other vendors that are willing to work with him, but he has found that. So he's making progress. He says, you know, for the first time, we're starting to think, okay, maybe we will get it back up. This is heroic, what you're watching. Absolute heroic, absolute battle of one man for freedom. He could knuckle under. I mean, as Apple CEO, Tim Cook explained over the weekend, look, we're not censoring him. He has to agree to our censorship standards, the same ones Facebook and Twitter use, and he can have his app back in the App Store. Well, what that means is if you get banned by Twitter or Facebook, you get banned by Parler. He could have his app back. But he won't. He says, no, we're going to have free speech here. That's what we're going to do. He doesn't get this back up. Free speech is done in this country. You know what was happening? This is what terrifies the left. Again, they're not afraid of you. Personally. I mean, I don't want to see crowds of you in the Capitol because then other people would know how many like-minded people there are and they wouldn't be afraid and isolated. So yeah, I guess they're a little afraid of you, but what they're really afraid of is their own supporters are going to know what they're doing in Washington right now. All the contents of this show today, the truly terrifying things that are coming, their own supporters have no idea. I'm telling you, half the Democrat Party would recoil in horror. The other half would be fine with it. But half would recoil in horror if they knew this. So they can't have you on social media because they got to keep their followers dumb. And by dumb, I don't mean actually physically stupid. I mean ignorant. Do you know what was happening on Parler? It was actually Enrique Tarrio who pointed this out, the black leader of the Proud Boys, which the media lies and tells you is a white supremacist organization. Talk about a country where you can be anything you want to be. Black man leading a white supremacist organization, supposed a white supremacist organization. See, but people don't know that about Proud Boys because they can't go on Parler right now. So anyway, Enrique Tarrio was pointing out something that's happening, was happening on Parler. The left wing knew the right wing was there. And they were having, you know, real debates about what's actually going on. So the left wing was coming over to Parler to harass and harangue right wingers who were on Parler. I'm not like the left. Good. I hope they all come over. And here's the thing, they will. Because free unrestrained speech is fascinating. By the way, just so you know, Parler bans violent speech. So this whole lie that, oh, they allow violence. No, they don't. No, they don't. You can't threaten someone on Parler. They'll yank you. Bet you didn't know that. So what was happening was left-wingers are coming over to Parler and they're seeing like the complete unrestrained truth. And it was interesting and fun to harass right-wingers. So they're coming over and they're reading it. That's what terrifies the left. That's what terrifies the Democrats. They can't do this agenda they're doing if their followers have any idea what's going on until it's too late. And then you know what's going to happen? People in the middle of the road are going to come over to Parler because they want to see what's going on over there. I mean, look at all the buzz. They might get real news. They can't let that happen. So I've told you this before, folks. You are not who they are primarily concerned about. They're concerned about you, but they know you got their number. They're not going to convince you. They'll try to silence you. They certainly don't want you to show up to protest legally in Washington and peacefully. So they want to make you afraid. They want to make you afraid if you get caught in a picture, you'll be doxxed and lose your job. But you're not their biggest fear. Their followers are. Their followers are. Folks, in this country, when you break people down by political views, center-right is still the largest group, 48%. Self-avowed liberals, about 20%. So self-avowed liberals, they love Marxism. They want to live in an authoritarian regime. They don't even care what kind, as long as all their neighbors are forced to go along. But that's a small number. It's not a majority. The rest of the Democrat supporters are largely just misinformed. They have no idea what they just voted for. And so a desperate, desperate race is on to keep them from finding out what they voted for. What happens when they find out? Trump's support grew by 12 million votes in 4 years. A dot rate of growth? Ugh, they can't have that. This is why Trump has to be banned from ever running from office again, because the rate of growth isn't stopping. So Parler had to go. But the good news is John Maitz thinks he can get it back up. He's actually got a website now and is posting daily updates. So we're crawling back up the hill. Pray he makes it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.